I thought that hymn was especially appropriate for this passage. The writer of that hymn might have had this verse or this set of verses in mind. Anyway, let's go to Proverbs chapter 18 and read there tonight. Then we'll pray and then we'll get started. We're going to Proverbs 18 now. I'm actually switching places with Philip. I forget where he's actually teaching tonight, or he was supposed to teach tonight, but you'll go before Proverbs 18 next week. Anyway, Proverbs 18, verse 10. It was just supposed to be Proverbs 18, 10, but I think Proverbs 18, verses 10 through 12 all go together. So let's read those three verses. So Proverbs 18, 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for this precious verse in your word tonight. We thank you for the truth that is in it. We thank you, Father, for the hymn that we sung. We just pray that you would guide us this night as we look at this word, this verse in your word. We pray, Father, that you'd grant us discernment and wisdom in your word. And we pray, Father, that we would truly love it, Lord, and walk in it, and truly seek refuge in you, Lord. At all times, Father, we pray, Father, you would guide us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs 18, verses 10 through 12, really you have a very obvious dichotomy here. You have the refuge of the righteous, and then you have the refuge of the rich or the wealthy, or you might say the worldly. Just to step back, I know Proverbs is a set. The Lord has given Proverbs, there are several different unique individual verses, individual Proverbs in this book. But occasionally, some of the Proverbs link up, which is what I think Proverbs 18, verses 10 through 12 do tonight. There's a real strong theme here between the refuge of those that seek the Lord and the refuge of those that seek their own will and find refuge or help from themselves. Anyway, we read in Proverbs 18, verse 10, that, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And you might ask the question, why does the writer of Proverbs, or Solomon here, speak of the name of the Lord as a strong tower? And we'll come back to it in a minute, but it says the righteous run to it and are safe. The righteous run to the name of the Lord. Really, what we see here is what each and every one of us know, that there are, each of us experience trials and tribulations in this life. We need something to find our refuge in. We need something to cling to in our trials. For the believer, it says the name of the Lord is our strong tower. And that's why we sung Hiding in Thee. because it says, "Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I." But anyway, the righteous run to this tower and are safe. But first, let's just look at the name of the Lord as a strong tower. Why would the righteous run to the name of the Lord? Well, of course, in Sunday school a while back, we learned what the name of the Lord means. Just turn back to Exodus chapter 3. Just read briefly Exodus 3:13. We know who the Lord is and why he should be our refuge in time of trial. Exodus 3:13. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" So the name of the Lord is I am. He is the self-existent, all-supreme, almighty God. He's the one who was and who is and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the one, if you think in Psalm 8, how the psalmist says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" But we praise the Lord that even though he is so high and lifted up, that he has condescended to us and has sent us his son, whereby we may approach him, and that we can approach him boldly through the throne of grace. But anyway, since the name of the Lord is a strong tower, it's a very strong place. Now, we read that a strong tower, and it had more of a significance back then than what it does to us now, because nowadays, even if you have a very strong building, it could be blown up, say, in a nuclear bomb. But anyway, back then, a strong tower was a very powerful thing where you would go for refuge. There's a few different examples in Scripture, but one that I thought of was Judges 9, where people used a tower to flee to for refuge. And it's not, this is just a situation here. It's not really righteous of these people per se, but not fleeing to the Lord exactly, but just an example in Judges 9, how Abimelech is attacking the city of Thebes. I'm not sure how to say that, but anyway. Then Abimelech went to Thebes in verse 50, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city fled there and shut themselves in it. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But anyway, so all these people, when Abimelech came upon them to attack them and take their city, these people fled to this tower where they could hide in and be safe from Abimelech. And you see that they went to the top of the tower. Now, I think most of us know that being at a high elevation is an advantage. If you have a battle, those that are on the high ground have an advantage over the low. Because if they're coming up the high ground, the people that are going up have a disadvantage in that they have to go up. They're going against the slope of the terrain. And the people higher up can hurl missiles or arrows or whatever at them. But the tower is high up. It's not even... You have to get inside the tower to get at the people up on top. And that's what Solomon gives us as a picture of the name of the Lord. It is a place where we may run into and shut ourselves in and be safe. It is a very safe place to be in the name of the Lord when we flee to him for refuge in trial. But anyway, Anyway, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You might look to Psalm 9. I'll just read it. Psalm 9, verse 10. Just an example of those who trust in the name of the Lord, who find their refuge in the name of the Lord. He says, I'll just start in verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So when there's a time of trial and distress, the Lord, and they flee to the Lord, he is their refuge and their strength. And he is faithful. He does not forsake those who seek him. But anyway, the righteous run to it and are safe. Now, when it says the righteous run to the name of the Lord and are safe, the word safe is a translation of the Hebrew word here, but it's literally the righteous run to it and are set on high, which I think is a really neat picture. It's not just that the righteous are set, like they're safe, no one's going to get to them in the tower, but they're set on high. It is a passive. The Lord brings them up above their enemies and makes them safe. There's several examples in the scriptures, but I think one of the most beautiful is in Psalm 91, how the Lord sets us on high. So you just turn there to Psalm 91. It's almost like he sets us out of the reach of our enemies, out of the reach of our out of those who seek to destroy us. Psalm 91, verse 14. He says, because, this is the Lord speaking of his servant. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. So there the verse is, the word is translated more literally. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So that's our precious Lord, our Savior, who is speaking there. He is a gracious God, who is truly faithful to those who flee to him for refuge. And I'll just point out, it says those who run to the name of the Lord as a strong tower. These are not, it's not like they can, these people are in utter distress. They run to the Lord because there is no other place to go. They can't run to the name of the Lord and take along something with them. They are calling upon the Lord in him only, finding their rest in no one else. Because let's look at verse 11 for the contrast here. So we have the righteous running to the name of the Lord, and they're safe and they're set on high. Well, we have a very vivid picture of the rich here. Verse 11, back in Proverbs 18:10, or 18:11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. So see, it's a direct contrast here. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Well, the rich man, or the worldly, the prosperous, has his wealth, and that is his strong city. That at least so he thinks, as the verse says. And it's like a high wall in his own esteem. So like people would run to a tower for refuge if there was, say, an army coming back then, they would run to a strong city. Of course, we know that when the Babylonians took over Israel, the people eventually all fled to Jerusalem, and the last stronghold that Babylon took, at least so I believe, was Jerusalem, because it was the strongest city. And that's really what rich men, or those that trust in their wealth, that is their strong city, their wealth, their possessions. But I think we could really put anything, let me rephrase that, to be something as our strong city, it does not have to be a man's wealth. It really can be anything in which someone trusts other than the Lord. It can be men. I guess Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe, shall be safe." We can be trusting in men as opposed to God. But here this verse is particularly speaking of the rich man's wealth as being the strong city. Anyway, and it says it's like a high wall in his own esteem. Now, when it says it's a high wall in his own esteem is really a very interesting word here. It's really, can be translated, his imagination. His wealth is like a high wall in his own imagination or his own thinking. Pretty much everywhere else, the word is translated like settings of silver, idols. It's almost like a artistic work that someone creates. So it's really an interesting picture how the rich man's wealth, although he thinks it's so powerful, is just like a little piece of his own handiwork, his little setting of silver there. That's Proverbs 25:11, I think, is where it is. This word is used, how a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. The settings where it is what imagine her esteem is. So all his wealth is but an imagination, but a picture. It's not real. It will not hold up in time of trial. And as we'll see that in verse 12, as it comes to a final contrast between those that trust in the Lord and those that trust in themselves. Oh, and another verse that came to my mind here about those that trust in wealth is, we think, Psalm 49. Speaks of those that trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, but none of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for his soul. But anyway, verse 11 speaks about what the rich man thinks of his wealth, but verse 12 says what the final result is of him trusting in his wealth. Verse 12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility." Like as Proverbs 16:11 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And we see this principle is throughout all Scripture, but we just see it again, that those who humble themselves before the Lord shall be exalted. But those that are haughty, are lifted up before the Lord, shall be brought down. Of course, we know in James, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But anyway, just look at this picture here. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility. And the word destruction is really like a bursting, like a sudden break. In his high wall. If a picture of this is in Isaiah 30, which I think is kind of a neat picture. I'll just read Isaiah 30, verse 13. He's speaking of the children of Israel who are trusting in Egypt to deliver them instead of the Lord. He says, "Therefore," in Isaiah 30, verse 13, "this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge and a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare. So there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern." Anyway, that's what the picture is of this rich man's high wall of his wealth. Destruction will come in an instant. This wall will have, it won't be a gradual falling, but it will come suddenly in an instant. There will be destruction. When he says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So those that seek the Lord, those that submit to him, those that find their refuge and their trust in him, God is truly gracious to. And I say, if you go back to just a few different Psalms, Psalm 20, verse 7, there's some in trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. So where is our trust this evening? Is our trust in ourselves, or is our trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth? And I speak for each of us here, and we've seemed so easy that to have confidence in ourselves and have plans to do things, and then when the Lord brings something upon us, then it's when the Lord brings something upon us, we begin to feel, could be discontent. But really, the Lord is pointing us to him. And that's why in times of trial and trouble, we must seek the Lord and flee to him as our strong tower. Maybe we can just close by, I think we read, or I read recently, Psalm 31. We'll just close there with David. I mean, his trust in the Lord. And really, this theme is just repeated again and again throughout the Psalms of seeking the Lord. And what I found was really interesting how David continually calls upon the Lord to deliver him for his name's sake, because he is the Lord, a God gracious and merciful. Anyway, Psalm 31, verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. That's our strong tower. He is our rock and our refuge. Verse 3, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. And I'm thankful that because the Lord is a gracious and merciful God, that we can pray to him for your name's sake. Lead me and guide me, for you are my strength, and into your hand I commit my spirit. I'm thankful that we serve a God like that. I know, but does anyone have any questions or comments? All right.